Certainly glad that we can be together today. Last week, I started a series that I wasn't sure I was going to continue, but there were just so many other points and things that were good to say. I think we're going to continue and talk more about Christian communication. You know, when preachers do sermon series, I think it's imperative that they look at and consider that each lesson needs to stand on its own, because some of you may not have been here for the last two lessons, or there may be some folks who were here for the last two who are not here for these. So I will review just very briefly that last Sunday morning we talked about how Christians are communicators. We must communicate. God wants to hear from us, and we need to be communicating with God our praise and thanks and needs to Almighty God. We need to communicate with other Christians our encouragement, our concern, our help, in whatever way that is. We need to communicate with our family, and one of the breakdowns in the family is that families don't communicate very well sometimes. And we need to communicate a message with the lost world about a Savior who loves them and wants to save them, but they have to be complying with that. In the evening lesson, we talked about how we can experience some communication failure. And when communication fails, there is division and difficulty and destruction and disagreement. And remember, we looked in Genesis chapter 11, and when we looked at the Tower of Babel, that all God needed to do to stop this work that they were doing at the Tower of Babel was to confuse their language, to stop their communication. And it brought about these things. Well, today we'd like to talk about some rules for effective communication. And this isn't some kind of self-help book, other than the sense in which the Bible is a self-help book. We're going to look at some Bible rules for effective communication. Don't you want to communicate? Don't you want to be understood? Don't you want in your family, for your family to get the message that you're trying to send? Don't you want for the lost world to receive a message that you're trying to communicate with them? Don't you want your brothers and sisters here to understand what you're saying? Certainly we want God, who knows our heart, to really know who we are. So let's talk about that today and try to make some very specific applications of those things. So I invite you, I'll put some scriptures on the board or on the screen, but maybe you... I'd appreciate you looking in your own Bible, verifying that I'm not putting some strange thing up there, knowing what the truth is. As you think about some rules for effective communication, you know, what we read about in one passage is that we must communicate with love. And I thought about this passage in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, where the scripture says, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him who is the head, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ." This is a passage that speaks about the growth and how the church can thrive and can be so powerful and such a good influence. How our communication, if it's going to be effective, has to be communicated with love. If you ever get the sense that someone is maybe telling you the truth, they have a message that is according to, technically, as we would say, absolutely what is right, but they don't really care about you. They're just beating on you with that truth. It's not very effective. It's not very effective if you don't sense that they care about you. Someone has said, and I think it goes along with this passage, it's just a human parable, and so we'll take it just as a human parable. But people will never care how much we know until they know how much we care. I think that is a true statement. They're not going to care that you can tell them the way of salvation if they don't sense that you care about them, that you're sharing a love for the truth and a love for their soul as you communicate that. Well, what does truth in love look like? Well, I thought about that a little bit. Truth in love does show the proper care for others as you deliver that message. It does show that you're wanting to share and to elaborate, to be able to communicate that you are concerned and that you care about them. But you know, love does some other things. There are times when it's much easier just to be quiet. There's times when silence would go a long way toward making our lives easier. But when you really want to communicate the truth with an attitude and with love for others, there are times in which we cannot be silent, but we must speak. Before we're done this morning, if we're given the time to finish this lesson, I'll talk about there may be times to be quiet. But sometimes we need to realize that we love someone so much that we cannot decide to just be quiet, even though that would be easier for us. Also, it would sometimes be easier to soften the message. It would be easier not to tell them everything that is really important for them to know. And to just sort of compromise the truth. They ask you a question, and so you give them some kind of a half answer rather than a full answer. Paul talked about communicating the whole counsel of God. When we speak the truth in love, we are concerned. And sometimes that will not allow us to be silent. And sometimes that will certainly not allow us to compromise the message just to give a happy, soft message. But you might consider that as you're communicating. In your family, are you communicating with love? Do they get that message? Fathers and husbands, are you a heavy-handed ruler who seems to have no concern, no compassion, no love for those under your leadership? Within the church, leaders need to think about that as well. Elders, deacons need to think about the way in which they do their work, to do it with love. As we look at a lost world, do they know that we really care about them so much that we will talk to them even when it's uncomfortable for us? Consider another as you think about this. Do we communicate with purpose? How frustrating is it when someone's trying to talk to you and you have no idea what the point of what they're saying is? Sometimes people talk so long that where did they ever start with that thought? We need to be people who, when we think about sharing something, that enough thought goes behind the message that we have purpose. There is enough preparation that we are going to communicate that message effectively. That there is meaning. And no one's going to say, what was he trying to say? When she talked to me today, we talked, but I have no idea what they were trying to say. We need to have purpose and meaning behind the words. When we think about that, you might consider what the Scripture says about that. You absolutely need to consider, because what I say doesn't really matter. But what we read here in Scripture in Ephesians chapter 4 does, where the Scripture says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Okay? My purpose is, my speech isn't going to be corrupt. It's not going to be filthy or nasty or of an impure motive. He says, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Many of you know that we are in the process of trying to look at a bathroom addition, remodel, whatever you want to call it. And you know what we've had to do is talk to an architect. And you know what he's in the process of doing is laying out these plans that say it's this long and this wide and here's where everything goes and this is how it's going to be built according to the standards that are there. What is good for necessary edification? That means building up. Sometimes, maybe in times past, a word for a building has sometimes been called an edifice. Just means a building. Edification is building up. When we're doing that building up, we need a plan. We need to think about the words. And sometimes we have an attitude, well, I'm just going to shoot from the hip with our words. And what we need to do is stop and think about that, consider and say, what is the message I'm trying to communicate? How can I get that message across in the best way? Careless words are dangerous words, but words with purpose are powerful for good. what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Teachers, here's a great point that we need to hear. We need to have purpose and meaning behind what we're teaching. We need to think about, before we sit down with the class, what is the message I want to impart to the hearer? How can I most effectively communicate that message so that they will have grace? They will have God's message that He has for them. In our homes, same thing. We need to communicate so that we build up, so that we are doing something profitable. And I know that sometimes it's necessary to tear down some things before you build them up. But our ultimate goal is edification, that we communicate with purpose, not just rattling on. I can remember a friend, and some of you who are familiar with Days Gone By said this to me whenever I would tell one of what I thought was an interesting story just among friends. She would say, "No tongue rattles like that of an empty wagon." If you don't get that, we'll talk later. We need to have purpose and meaning behind what we're saying. When you think about another one, we need to communicate with others with humility. When we come across with an arrogant, know-it-all attitude, we are not very effective communicators. As preachers and teachers, we don't need to say, "Well, I just know so much more than you, and so let me share with you people something." We need to have a sense of our own needs, our own humility, our own weakness, and say, there are struggles we all have. There is a message we all need to hear. There are things we all need to know. Have you ever had a Bible study with someone and they didn't want to hear anything you had to say? They just wanted to give that to you? We need to have humility. Not looking at others with this heavy-handed judging attitude. The Bible speaks about judging. Sometimes there are judgments that are necessary. But we need to be careful that we are not looking at others and saying, "They'll never hear what I'm saying. They'll never obey. Can you believe the horrible things they have done?" But instead, how can I help? Because we are sinners who need to be reconciled to God. When you think about humility and the communication of humility, I thought about there, as we look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, the scripture says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." Esteem others better than yourself. When you share the message of the gospel, saying, "Well, they need the gospel, but wow, when I obeyed it, did I ever need that? Do I ever still need God's grace in my life? Do I ever still need His forgiveness?" And we can share a message like that. As we just think about this lowliness, looking out for the interests of others, people can sense arrogance. We may say the right things, but if that's not what's in our heart, people can sense, they can know what we really are and what we really think. We have to be careful that we don't come across with that kind of arrogant, haughty, boastful attitude. With consideration. This goes along with love. Not only to say the right things, but to consider the hearer as you share those things. And when we consider that in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, some call this the golden rule. I have a friend who says it ought to be called the silver rule, because gold is, you know, at the top of the podium at the Olympics. And the golden rule is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. The second is like it to love others as yourself. And that's at the heart of this. He says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. You're talking to a lost soul. You're talking to someone who has fallen away from the Lord. Someone who's never obeyed the gospel. You're in your family, and there's a problem that needs to be dealt with. Within the church, your brother or sister has something in their life, and you feel like you need to confront them and talk to them about that. Do you think about, if I was just like they were, if I was exactly in their shoes, if I had got caught up, or if I was struggling, or if this conversation needed to happen with me, how would I want them to speak to me? With what attitude, with what words, with what helpfulness would I want them to come to me and to share that with me? This gets really tough, I think, in the family scenario. Husbands, as you lead, and wives, as you are trying to be godly, submissive wives, to share a message with your spouse, or how about with your children, to communicate with them in the way that you would want someone to speak to you. That is a hard principle. When you think about this with consideration, thinking about the other person, I think that goes along with love, but was worth mentioning as well. With forgiveness, did you hear, as Gabe read for us so very well, that in talking about our conduct there in 1 Peter chapter 3, he says that we do not return reviling for reviling. Someone has said something to me, and guess what? I can remember a year ago they came to me and they said, here's something in your life you need to change and you need to straighten up. And guess what I found in their life? And so I'll let them have it now. When we communicate with others, it's with forgiveness, with care for them. It's not holding a grudge. It's not thinking about all the horrible things they've ever done. It's communicating with that spirit that we talked about of humility and forgiving. When we think about the Scripture says here in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. And he says, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. Forgiving like Christ forgives. When we have a complaint, making sure that it's not with a grudge or holding something evil over that person's head. Let's look at one more. With patience. Sometimes when we try to communicate a message, it may not get through the first time, and we might get frustrated. Well, didn't we just talk about this? Parents, how many times might you have to communicate a message with your children? How many times might your children need to communicate a message with you that in your humility and your consideration, you need to hear from them? Patience. How many times might you talk with someone about the gospel? Do you talk with them one time and say, well, they didn't get it, so too bad for them? Patience. When we think about James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, the Scripture says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. This is the picture of communicating with long-suffering and patience. You're ready to hear what they have to say. We need to talk. And so you hear what they have to say. You consider your words carefully. You're slow to speak. Not absent of speech. Not failure to speak. Not compromising the message. But it's a thoughtful response. And you don't fly off the handle and lose your temper easily, because that will not produce in you the righteousness of God. Having patience. Rules for effective communication. As I thought about the message that I was trying to communicate this morning, that I would ask this question or make the statement that we need to show others Christ by the way we communicate. And I'd ask the question, what are you showing to those with whom you need to communicate? Your brothers and sisters, the lost world, your family. What are you communicating? What are you showing them as you communicate? You know, Christ communicated with love. We see Him having love and compassion. We sometimes see Him being angry, but speaking and doing the things that were needed with purpose, with meaning behind the words. Even Christ, who in His great and exalted position, He was a man of humility. He considered the different kinds of hearers that He talked to and what they needed to hear. Jesus was always hopeful to impart forgiveness. And sometimes He said the same message multiple times to the same people. I hope that you'll come back tonight and that we can study together. And tonight we're going to talk about things that will kill communication. Just shut it down. This morning was rules for effective communication. And by the way, in announcing that title, I'm not saying, well, how can I stop all this communication? That's not the point. The point is, what are some things I can avoid that are going to destroy my ability to communicate with others? I hope that this morning, in looking at these things, that I've communicated effectively my care for each one, my concern for myself and for others. And if in hearing about the gospel message, you would need to repent and be baptized so that your sins can be washed away, I would urge you in every way I know how to do that. If there be a child of God who's unfaithful and you need to come home, we can help you with that. If you need to repent of that, bring that before God's throne in confession and ask Him for prayer. Ask Him prayer for forgiveness. We're ready to help with that as well. We'll serve you in whatever way we can. That's the message we want to communicate today. We'll stand, we'll sing the song. Please come forward if we can help.